fulfillment of what his promises have spoken. And I just want to encourage you in that. And we've got to be careful that we don't continually sacrifice the present for the future. So many are living way out here and planning for way out here and sacrificing the very present, because what he wants to do right now is something beautiful through you. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say he wants to do something beautiful through you. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, I don't know if God can use me. I want you to know he can use you. Over the years, people have said, yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I don't think like that. I said, not yet. None of us thought like this, right? Not in the beginning, but then when word of God comes and it renews our mind, then all of a sudden changes start to happen. And therefore, God can use you. And his desire is to use you before the end of the day, and then all day tomorrow, and all day the next day. But so many are so worried about here, 6 years from now, that they're sacrificing what God wants to do today. So their fears and anxiety and planning and purposing and their for their own personal lives, they're not enjoying what God has given them today because they're so worried about tomorrow. The Bible says that tomorrow will take care of itself. Amen? Yeah, he took care of you yesterday. He's got all your tomorrows in his hand too. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Luke in chapter 9. We're going to start there this morning. And we're going to start in verse 28. It says, some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, and appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but that was a pretty heavy conversation. You know, it's not like you're packing up your bags and you're leaving to go on vacation. They were talking about his departure and all that he would walk through. And if you were getting to walk through something like Jesus was to set everyone free, I would want those that would encourage me the most to stay the course. Amen? I would want those that when they started speaking, there were no distractions, no foolishness. I want those that have already walked out their course, and when they're going to speak to me, they're going to build, they're going to encourage, and they're going to remind me, hey, look at this is going to happen and it's going to be rough. But you're the man. You're the man. Jesus, you are the Son of Man. You're the Son of God. And so as they were speaking, it says, and now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep. Can you imagine? You get to be a part of that conversation and you fall asleep. Does it sound like the church? Right? God said, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit in the house. I'm going to use every single one. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. And I'm going to use you to change the whole world. I'm going to wash you in the blood of my Son. I'm going to fill you with power from my throne room where nothing is impossible. And then people come to church and go, the presence of God in a place where two or more are gathered, he's here. Isn't it the nature of man? Missing one of the most epic scenes ever recorded. Elijah and Moses. Now, how did they know? Were they standing on their little podiums with their name on the bottom of them? I don't think so. But these guys, there's Jesus. He turns white. He starts to glow. He starts to transform into what? Who he really is. Where he came from. He's showing them another dimension of spirituality that each one of us are to walk in. Amen? Because you were transformed by the power of his love. You were transformed on that day. And he wants us walking in a different parallel, in a different place. He wants us walking different than the world walks. They were there a part of this and they fell asleep. Hopefully that's not where you are in the midst of your transition. or your transformation. Hopefully you haven't, I remember, I'm sure you've all heard it too, the joke where the pastor went to visit this family, and they walked into the kitchen to get some food, and there was cash on the little nightstand. And so the pastor, after he got ready to leave, and he left, and the money was gone. And so a couple of days later, these people, they were so upset because their cash was gone when the pastor left. And so they called him and they said, you know, we got a problem with you, pastor. Why? Because you stole the money off the coffee table. And he said, no, he said, when you left the room, I was afraid for the finances, so I slid it under your Bible. Because I didn't want anybody taking it. I didn't want it to blow off the table. God's got a plan and a purpose for our lives. But unless we pick up His Word and unless we climb into prayer, that transformation will be very limited in each one of our lives. Amen? Let's not fall asleep just because we've got a transformation or something changing in America. It's not a time for the church to fall asleep or worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. But God wants us to step into that place where everyone around you starts to get changed by the life that you're living. Why? Because the power from the throne room of God dwells on the inside of you. Therefore, nothing is impossible because you believe. Amen? All right, let's go on with the story. Peter and his companions have been overcome with sleep. We covered that one. I think we need to hit it again, though. Just the reason being is there anyone else that God has spoken to you to go and encourage or to build or to strengthen, and you've blown it off? Or I've blown it off? Because what God wanted is transformation in their lives. And the person that He's sending is you. It says, but when they were fully awake, they saw His glory and the two men standing with Him. And as these were leaving Him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Typical man, right? Always want to build a monument. Not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, reported no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. And a man from the crowd shouted, saying, teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy. And the spirit seizes him and suddenly screams, and it throws him into convulsions with foaming at the mouth. And only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. And while he was approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. The power of your word. It moves us to action. It changes our desires. Your word, it renews our strength. Our purpose once again becomes clear. Our lives are so short when we read your word, for how many have gone on before us and are no more on the face of this planet, and so few have fulfilled the perfect will of God for their lives. So few have said, I'll use the moments to change other people. Father, let that be our desire all of our days, that one more might be changed by the power of your word. Every time that we speak your word, that authority goes out. That power becomes manifest in whoever hears it or receives it. Father, today, We thank you for your word changing us, that we might live a life that brings you the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we're in the words of Jesus in red, and I was curious when I was reading this, where it says that God spoke, "This is my son," right? What color should we put his words in? Is there another color that we can have that's more bold than the words in red? When the Father comes down and starts to speak about the Son, and he qualifies everything that Jesus is saying, each one of us need to grab a hold. And you know, and what we see with Jesus here on the mount is a way for each and every one of us. It's a place that God wants to bring each one of us. Every one of us he wants to bring into a place of transformation where you see differently than what you see right now. Where you start to believe differently than you believe right now. Even if we've been in Christ for a long time, it's time to start to believe for more. No matter what you've got, no matter what how God has used you, it's time to start to believe for more. There's some that are believing just to get by today. Some that are just hoping, oh, if I can just make it through today. Why? Well, you know, I put a pink shirt in with my white socks, and now, oh, such a heavy day, such a heavy day. Some people are just trying to get past that thought process. Maybe some mom is really struggling. I told you, don't put the pink in with the white socks. Others are thinking a little bit farther ahead or a little bit deeper, maybe some heavier issues to get past or through today. But no matter what you're walking in right now, I know that where God wants to take you is someplace where you're going to see differently. He wants you to see who you really are. He wants you to understand his word and what he has spoken over you and what he has called you to do. He didn't call you to hang out. He didn't call you to be an American. He didn't call you to sit. He called you to repair, to restore, to rebuild, to bring to life those dry bones in other people's lives. You're the one that brings life where there's death. You know, when we see this experience that the disciples got to be partly a part of when they weren't sleeping, he wants us to experience a realm of the Spirit. And that's what worship does. Worship brings us into a place, of a realm where he wants you to experience him in the midst of it. He doesn't just want it to be words that you follow like a bunch of laws. All right? He wants you to be able to come in and enjoy him. Jesus, he wasn't thinking about what they were getting ready to go do down in the valley after that. He was enjoying his time with Elijah, with Moses. They're standing there talking about some heavy things, but there he is starting to shine like an angel, tapping into the reality of where we're all headed for. Amen? Where we're heading for is something glorious, but there's work to do. And I really believe that God wants us to have pictures of that. There was a perfect union and perfect peace when he was up on the mountain. It was a relationship that would overpower all other relationships. And I believe that's the biggest thing that God wants us to come to. When you get in trouble and when I get in trouble, is the first person I go to, is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the first one? Is his relationship with me one that's greater than anyone else? Because listen, Peter, James, and John couldn't help Jesus get ready for what he was about to endure. They couldn't help him. God had a different plan. And God wants you to see it firsthand. He wants it. Why do you think he wants to give dreams and visions? Right? He wants to give them so that you know what's coming, preparing you. Those are some transformational times in our lives. Amen? I was on my back deck the other day, and the Lord woke me up at 4 a.m, and it was like it was noon, so I just got up, went out, made myself a cup of coffee, and walked out on the deck, and it was a little cool, put a sweater on, or a sweatshirt, and I was just walking around, and it was almost like I stepped into another place. I had never experienced it before, but all of a sudden, it was one of the most intimate times I've ever had with the Father in my entire life. on my back deck, just walking back and forth, sipping on a cup of coffee, and every thought was so clear, and his presence was so strong. I didn't want it to end. You ever been in those situations? I didn't want to go anywhere else. I just wanted to sit down for the rest of my life and not move. But we know that in those times, in those intimate times, he gives us things that we're going to need, just like Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus, preparing him for what he was going to go through. Right? When we get in there with the Father, and excuse me, one of the things that Jesus came to do was restore us unto the Father. Restore a relationship unto the with the Father. And there's so many broken relationships with fathers. The biggest issue in every community, not just one community right now, is the Father. And because people have such a wrong understanding of what a father is, how a father is to respond and act, the way that a father leads, they have a hard time associating with Father God. And so therefore they go in with a misunderstanding of how he's going to respond. I want you to know he's not going to respond like your dad did. He's not. No matter how good or how rough it was growing up, maybe he wasn't even there. I want you to know, your father is always there. He doesn't leave. He doesn't leave. But even if your father is saved, even if he's been wonderful, I want you to know, your father in heaven, he's greater. He's better. He's kinder. He's more merciful. He's more gracious. He's just. But I want you to know, his hands, oh, they never fail. You can't fall out of his hand. His hand's pretty big. He's got the whole world in his hand. All right? No matter how far, you can run and pole vault and jump, and you're still not going to fall out of his hand. And so many times we think, oh, I failed and I've fallen out of grace with God. I want you to know his grace is enough this morning. Repentance is something that we have to agree with, because repentance, we're turning, stop doing the stupid stuff. Stop watching the same junk. Oh, life is hard, right? And you're watching garbage on TV. Or delete Netflix with what they're putting on. That little show with them young girls, it's just disgusting. And then we just keep paying. Let them pipe it into the house. Exploiting 11-year-old little girls. It's demonic. And you want to know why it's happening? Because we let it. The church. You want to come up here and preach this, honey? She said, because we let it. And it's so true. And could, yeah, but I like the other show. Heard someone yesterday? Yeah. Heard one person say the other day, you know, oh, there's nothing good out, new coming out. And so I'm watching this other show. I must have watched it 15 times, but I love it. Welcome to Christianity. Heaven forbid that's your lot in life, where you can't find anything else to do except find a rerun of 15 times to watch it again. Because this is what happens. We're like Peter and James and John. God is in the middle of doing something spectacular around the world right now. We're stepping into another season right now. And so many people in the church, I just love Hoss. I just want to watch Bonanza one more time. I love Bonanza. My grandmother, she said, oh, that Lauren Green, that's a good looking man, before she died. But can we step into what God's called us? I want you to know, what God has for you to do is crazier than anything you've seen on television. Oh, it's more exciting than anything that Hollywood has dreamed up. Trust me, it's much more powerful than anything that they have dreamed up. This is where he's leading each and every one of us to listen and to walk in his way. Jesus takes the three with him to experience something so far beyond what they had seen or experienced, and they fell asleep. Please, let's not do that now. It's amazing how another one of the most tumultuous times in Jesus' life in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did the disciples do? Fell asleep. Human nature. Okay, when pressure comes, what do we want to do? Take a nap. Right? When pressure comes, why is there so much depression? People can't handle pressure. People struggle with pressure. It comes out, I got to make so many decisions, it's so hard. Oh, I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to get out of bed for days. A friend of ours who's going on to be with the Lord, when he turned 40, he was so depressed he didn't get out of bed for 3 days. He thought 40, his life was over. Yeah, didn't want to get out of bed for 3 days. Brilliant man, but just struggled with the idea. Let's see, if the average American male lives to 35 or 75, his life was more than half over at 40. Didn't get out of bed. Couldn't get out of bed. Called in sick. Why? What happens? Lack of vision. When we forget about who we are and what we've been called to do, then we want to go to sleep. But when we start to understand what God wants to do through you, it's amazing what he wants to do. And don't come up and say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Yes, I do. I understand the word of God, and he can use anybody. Tell your neighbor, say, even you, Balaam. Sometimes we've acted like that, haven't we? We've all acted like that donkey sometimes. But I want you to know, God's getting ready to do something spectacular through you. It's coming, it's pouring out. We're in the middle of it. And for those who won't fall asleep, he'll use you. Isn't God so good? All you have to do is not fall asleep. That's all he has you to do. Read my word and pray. Don't fall asleep. Because I can use anybody that doesn't fall asleep. Isn't that glorious? Just 2 points, or 2 thoughts. When Jesus came down off the mountain, and then he hears the disciples squabbling. Here he's been training these guys for a while. One young boy is possessed. One young boy can't get delivered. All the disciples are there trying their best. Jesus is a little bit frustrated when he comes down. He says, oh, faithless and perverted generation. Jesus just came down from talking with Moses and Elijah. Seeing, living, standing in the reality of where he came from and where he's going. And then he walked down and these guys that he's been pouring his life into can't handle this little sniveling, little stinking, rotten devil that's inside this boy. Here Jesus, his whole body's glowing. He's talking to those that are in eternity. And he comes down with those and they don't have enough faith to cast out one demon. How many in the church, when someone starts going into convulsions or someone's acting all weird, even think about going over laying hands on them, praying for deliverance? Well, Pastor, you haven't done a class on that. All we have to do is read the Word of God. Get out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Class is done. Now you know how. Because it's that name that's above every other name. Amen? You're going to have to know who you are. And you better be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that authority and that power you have. And it's not a whole bunch of words. Hang on. Let me get out my 77 scriptures. Okay, it says here, it says here, it says here, it says here. It says that in that name, every knee will bow. Some of these things don't come out except for prayer and fasting. And if you've never fasted before and you've been saved for more than 6 months, then you need to get saved again. It's that simple. Because Jesus said when you fast, amen? Jesus came down and he said, you faithless or unbelieving generation. And then he said, you perverted generation, meaning to pervert something means to make it crooked, which is what we already talked about as far as Netflix, making it crooked, making it wrong, twisting it, making it sick, misleading, turning people away. That's what it means. That's what Jesus is talking about. our lifestyles, do they turn people away or do they turn people towards him? When you speak, do you speak life or do you speak death? When you open up your mouth, do people say, hey, tell me about that again? I think I told you when me and Dr. Ron were in the airport, we're just sitting there talking about how good God was and how he's used different situations. And that kid said, what are you guys talking about? Can I tell you, those that don't know the Lord, they're curious about what God can do. They're only looking for somebody that's doing it. They're only looking for somebody that is excited to talk about the things of God. And when they overhear it, they're going to say, really? Did that really happen? Is that true? How did that happen? And then we can share about the intimacy that God has with each one of us. Amen? So, just three quick thoughts. Have we perverted our giving time to the Word for the purpose of intimacy? Or is it just for knowledge? Because we know that intimacy, it's going to bring us to a place of an encounter with God, but it's going to bring transformation in our lives. And the transformation is a place of surrender. Intimacy is always going to bring us to a place of surrender. The more intimate, the closer I walk with the Lord, the more intimate I am with him. Listen, on my back porch the other morning, anything he said, I just wanted to do. His presence was there. It was so tangible that I didn't want to leave. And all it did was cause me to want to surrender more of my life and every moment of every day. Knowledge just tends to puff up, the Bible says. Have we perverted our time in prayer, walking through rather than desiring it above all else? Is it a timer that we put on our watch and say, I have to spend an hour with the Lord? Or is it the place that I'd rather be rather than anywhere else? I want you to know that in the throne room, there's a chair with your name on it. There's a chair in the throne room for you. It's comfy. It's very comfy. It's not a pew. But maybe it should be, so we stay awake. But there's a comfy chair. How much dust is on the chair in the throne room with your name on it? Is there any dust on it? Is that the place where I'd rather go, where I'm no longer looking at the clock, but it's 1, 2, 3 hours, and I just can't get enough of him? How many hours have we spent with one another over the week and over the months and over the years? And what has changed drastically in your life when you sit next to another human being just hanging out? But when you spend time with the Father, and when that becomes the desire, the intimacy starts to grow. I'm telling you, everything starts to change. And when we throw the watch out and just sit and want to be with him, there's the words of life. There's the power and the authority. There is everything that he wrote down about you. You're sitting in a chair in his throne room. Everything he wrote, he wants to speak to us. He wants you to know who you are, what he's called you to do, how he's preparing something for you. He didn't say just walk through aimlessly. He wants to speak to each one of us. But have we perverted prayer where we made it crooked? Where when we get up, I got to get up. Oh, I got to be in prayer because if not, I'm going to get a flat tire on the way to work. That's perverting prayer. I have to get up and get in prayer. Otherwise, you know, they'll throw me out of the church. We won't. Not today. Have we perverted prayer where we've made it crooked in our minds, where we're trying to please God with our prayer time? Or are we learning to enjoy God like Jesus standing there with Elijah and with Moses talking about what is to come, preparing him, the scripture says, for what he's about to walk through? Have we gotten to a place as a church after thousands of years of the written word? Have we gotten to a place where we understand the character of God and now we can learn to enjoy him as Father? Or are we doing it out of necessity or out of pain? I have to. My wife pushed me out of bed this morning. I guess I'll get into prayer. What's the purpose of it? Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling each and every person you come to unto the Father.
Why? So that they can enjoy that time with him just like you learned to, just like I learned to. When we enjoy our opportunity in his presence, it's easy to do the will of him who reconciled us. Amen? The more time you spend with him, the easier it is to accomplish all that he wrote about you. He wrote some crazy things about you. You know, he watches Moses. He just stuck that stick in the ground and the Red Sea opened. I believe he wants to do some Red Sea experiences through you. I don't think there's anything less that God wants to do through you than he's done through other men and women of God. He's used them all, those that listened to him and were called according to his purpose. How about these that have gone to other countries, other tribes, don't even know the language, had to learn the language, translate the Bible in another language, and lived out their lives fruitful in another place while the world just kept churning on. Some in the church fast asleep. Some just piling or amassing things in this world. And yet these guys are out there turning an entire tribe, and some of them lost their lives. And then, oh, the courage of those where it was written where their wives came back and said, we're going to finish what our husband started. We're not going to stop because we're not counting our lives as anything. We're laying them down for one purpose. Because when you go up into your mountaintop, who do you want to talk to when you get there? Who do you want to spend time with when you get there? Sitting with the Father because he's your first love rather than an object that requires your time is transformational. So our time in the Word, our time in prayer, and our giving. Giving of who we are. It's the most expensive gift and most beautiful gift you can give the Father, who you are. Not what he has given you. How unamazing is that? Lord, I'm giving back to you what you gave me. Ain't I incredible? Ain't I spectacular? We just simply give him back what he's asked for. And it was his to begin with. But when you give yourself, everything starts to change. Your life starts to change. Your marriage starts to change. Your children start to change. Everything starts to change when we'll spend that time with him. It's the most beautiful gift. So many times we have to fight the wrong thoughts, don't we? It's always the wrong thoughts that come in. We've got a bird feeder on our deck. And wrong thoughts are like gray squirrels. Demonic thoughts are like gray squirrels. It doesn't matter how many I have encouraged not to come to our bird feeder over the years. They keep coming. Generations keep coming. They start out this big coming to the feeder. Then they get to this big. Then we encourage them not to come back. And then their children come back. Isn't that the same way the devil does? He comes with a thought and you say, get out. And the next day he sends another. And he starts eating from your feeder. He starts taking time away from your word, time in prayer, because some thought comes in or something happens and gets you distracted. You're going to have to encourage him the same way we encourage them gray squirrels. They ain't never coming back. Because the power of God's word is that strong where when you speak it, stand on it, agree with it, them thoughts are going to change. Amen? But you're going to have to do the work. And they're going to come back, but you're going to have to stand your ground. Don't let them gray squirrels eat all your bird seed. I'm telling you. It's too expensive. It's too expensive. One child's life is too expensive. Just one. Are you willing to sacrifice one of your kids? Because we don't want to stand on the word of God, because we want to pervert our time in the word, pervert the time in prayer or our lives, giving of ourselves. Which one are we not going to bother with? Which one are we going to say, don't worry about it. You just have to live with them thoughts. Don't worry about it. That's just the way you are. You're a loser. You're a failure. You'll never amount to anything. Heaven forbid that comes out of anybody's mouth in here or out there. I want a meeting with you if it did. Because we need to adjust some things. We have ways of encouraging you. Not like we do the gray squirrels, but we're like ways that we can encourage you. Not
not to say those silly things over a child's life because they're too expensive. They're too valuable. They're too beautiful. They're amazing. Your perspective changes everything. You know, he said David, he danced before the Lord. And the perspective was different. His wife said, it's very unbecoming. It's horrible, the king dancing before all of his subjects. Her perspective was who he was dancing before. David's perspective was, I'm a son dancing before the Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you come into worship, are you worshiping next to people? Or are you stepping into that place of worship where it's faith-filled, knowing that you're singing unto your God alone and you don't care what anybody else looks at or thinks of you or sounds like? You guys can hear my voice. You know it doesn't sound that great when I sing. It gets worse. It gets more raspy. It breaks up. It disappears at times. I start singing. All of a sudden, no words come out. It's not the sound of it. I mean, with you guys, it makes me sound really nice, and I love you. That's why we want you to keep coming back. But I want you to know when you start, in, when you get into the Word and prayer and then giving of yourself, the same thing happens of what Jesus did in verse 41. Jesus simply spoke and said, bring your son here. And before that child even got close to Jesus, he fell on the floor and he started convulsing because of the presence of God was so strong. Listen, when Finney came through here, people would cry out, have mercy on me, and he never touched them because of the presence of God in his life. Jesus is doing the same thing. His life, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down. He's filled with the authority and the power to do the will of the Father. He knows what he's getting prepared to do. He says, bring the son. Here he's going to lay his life down. And yet that little boy was very valuable to him. And he said, bring your son. Before he got close, he hit the ground and started going into convulsions. And in verse 42, it says, while he was approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into convulsions. And then Jesus just said, get out. There was no doubt in who he was. Jesus said, get out. There's some thoughts in our heads this morning. We need to say, get out. Trying to bring a manifestation of the Father through other means instead of the way of the Son, we're going to have a whole bunch of problems. If we're going to try to do it another way, it's his word, it's his prayer, and then it's surrender through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I just want to read this scripture quickly. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 22, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Tell your neighbor, say they're subject to you too. All right. In your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. What did he say? I have given who? You. You. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you.
That's you.
All right. To authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Does the enemy have power over you?
No.
All right. Are you sure? Are the rest of you sure?
Yes.
All right. Everybody out there, you guys sure?
Yes.
I can't hear them out there. And then at verse 20, I'm sorry. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And then it says, and at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Ghost. I wonder what he said. He just started rejoicing. Why? He goes on to say, because you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal. But I love how he says, and I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from those that are wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. We all qualify now, amen? We all qualify in this. And he said, he starts laughing about this, right? He says at the very time, he rejoiced greatly. He's because the Father's plan is coming to fruition. Whether he understood it all and knew it all, how it was going to play out. Oh, how are we going to pour everything into these poor guys? And then they're going to change the world. How is that possible? And then he pours it out at that time, at that season, changes their lives. And then he rejoices in the Holy Ghost. Father, you're pouring it out into every single one that would believe. You gave it to infants, and they're going to change the world. We sent them out, and they did what you told them to do. Oh, there was one they couldn't get. They only come out through prayer and fasting. We got to help them out a little bit more. But he was rejoicing that the Father's plan is coming together. We need to rejoice. We need to rejoice for all of those that are in Christ, because that's part of God's plan coming together. Amen. But now we need to be those that step into another realm. It's time for your Mount of Transfiguration. It's time for you to go get alone with your God so that it becomes so real. No longer faithless prayers, but faith-filled prayers. No longer crooked thinking, but righteous thinking. Only what lines up with the Word of God, because there are those out there, they need you. They need you. And you're going to have to encourage those gray squirrels to get the heck out of your house. Some of them are up in your attic eating your wires. You're going to have to encourage them. With everything you got, get out in the name of Jesus. Because at that name, they have to go. But then you're going to have to fill that area up with the truth. Therefore, we got to get into the Word and proclaim that. Amen? Stand up this morning. At attention, soldier. Them heels together. That's a good man right there. Listen, we don't live in times where we don't know what God's called us to do. He's told the church to do the same thing since the first century. Amen? He said, go out and make disciples. So that's the question. Do you have a disciple in Christ? Do you have one? If we've been in Christ for a while, do you have one? Been in for 5 years, do you have one disciple that you're pouring your life into? Is there one person? Is there one? Because that's what he called us to go and do. Amen? See, we can't say, we don't know what God's going to do. Yes, we do. He's going to change you through the power of his love and his word and the spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right. Tell your neighbor, say, he did that to me already. Right. Now he said, go out and change somebody else's life through the power of the blood and the Holy Ghost in their lives, and then their whole family set them free. Get their whole family set free. See, real simple job to do. Amen? Not walking around, oh God, what do I do? Go get somebody saved. Go to their house, hang out with them. Spend some time with them. Pastor, you have any idea what they are like? Yep, just like you before Christ. You should be right at home. Know how they're thinking, what they're doing, and know how to lead them into a right relationship with the King of Glory. This is what he's called us to do. Don't get distracted with all the foolishness going on in the world. Don't get distracted. There's been a lot of foolishness. One man said back in the 60s, there was a lot more shootings going on in America. There's a whole bunch more. A whole bunch more chaos in America. The Vietnam War. The craziness. Said it was out of control. And guess what? The church survived. Guess what? People kept doing what God's called them to do. Now we've got this season that we're walking in that we get to be a part of, and we get to change people's lives through the power of God. Fear has no place in your life. Stop it. Fear has no place in your life. None. Let's go find somebody that's hurting, lost, confused, walking around saying, I don't know what to do. Or you see him doing the things that are wrong. Go walk alongside him. Just start asking him questions. We're here to set the captives free. We're here to set the captives free. We're here to set the captives free. If you're free, go set somebody else free. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. And Lord, as we're reminded of that transformational moment that we get to see in Scripture, let us not be like those men that fell asleep. Let us not be like those who have drifted off into what the world says is okay. Father, but let us be those that stand so that when we come down off the mountain with you, Lord, that we've already spent our time fasting and praying and nothing becomes impossible because we've agreed with your word and we put you first and foremost in everything. Thank you for the power of your word as it's renewed our mind and the power of your love that has changed our hearts, oh God. And Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit that leads us into the fullness that you have spoken before the world was formed. Thank you for his guidance. Thank you that he's the greatest teacher the world has ever seen. Let us sit and listen like we never have before. And then, Holy Spirit, we make a decision today to surrender. Whatever you ask, we're going to do this week. We're not going to hold back, Holy Spirit. We're not going to be distracted. We're not going to sleep. We're not going to be lazy. Holy Spirit, this week, we make a decision. Whatever it is, help us to realize that it's the Father preparing us for even greater things. We thank you, Father, for that beautiful work you have begun. And we agree that we're those, the infants that you said you deposited your word into, your spirit into, and now they're going to confound the wise with the truths of the word of God from another world. From the very throne room. Let us learn to enjoy the throne room. So they have to come and say, you have to go with us now. For there's people crying out. They want to know Jesus. Let us enjoy that more than anything else. And we would get to know our Father in such an intimate way. That when you send us, we just laugh. We rejoice like Jesus did. Oh, here we go again on another adventure with the King. Thank you, Father, for knitting our hearts together and causing us to bow our knees willfully before your throne room. Burn up the thoughts, burn up the arrogance. Let us walk humbly before our God so that you get all the glory and we watch souls be swept into your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Go do the will of your Father. Go do it. Go do it.